Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Mahamrit Nirvana. Nirvana holds a degree in electrical engineering and has worked in the telecommunication sector as a technology professional at corporate giants such as AT&T. Nirvana has moved to Pune to be in close proximity to the Osho Buddha Field in Corregon Park. Today Nirvana is an ISF certified transformation coach, a no-mind facilitator, a certified yoga and whole nutrition teacher. Hello Nirvana, welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
I am very good.
I'm so happy to have you on the show. The reason why I reached out to you and invited you to the podcast is because of a video you posted recently on YouTube. I came across this video and I was really impressed. You speak in this video so elegantly about science and Osho, drawing a parallel between Osho and Einstein, which I found it fascinating. So I definitely want to hear all about that and deep dive into that topic. But to start, tell us a bit about how you came to know about Osho.
Yeah. Swaram, in 2002, I was going through a very painful divorce. And at the same time, I was also in the middle of what I now call divine discontent. So I was in New York. I used to work with AT&T. Some of your listeners might have heard of that company. And I was slated to, you know, move up the corporate ladder. And it just, none of it made sense. My life in America, my corporate career, my marriage, actually decided to all collapse at the same time. And I really clearly remember that I was on a rest stop. I lived in New Jersey, and I was meeting somebody, and I was stopping off of what is called the Garden State Parkway there. And I stopped in a bookstore. And my sister had mentioned Osho before, because she had been listening and meditating with him, and nothing had really registered. Anyway, so I'm an avid book lover. I'm over there. This book from Osho called Creativity. You might have come across it. It's a compilation. This is in the bookshelf, and I open it, and immediately on like page 2 or 3, he says, you know, you complain about other people being violent towards you, and yet every single day, you are committing acts of violence upon yourself. And I'm rephrasing liberally. I'm sure the actual words are, but this is what I took away. And this was also the context of the marriage dissolving and the divorce. So I'm standing there 1 hour later. Swaram, I've read the entire book. I'm sobbing. What happened there was, he also goes on to say that you're begging others to love you, and in the meantime, you do not love yourself. And I after that, after reading that book and standing there, was completing the divorce paperwork. And on the 25th of January, like 3 hours after I got my divorce settlement, I was on a flight to India. I had already written to Pune, to, you know, the resort at that time, that I would like to come. And, you know, it was winter season, it was packed. So they said, you know, please come back later. And I came back and I was clear that the fastest I could get untangled from the big fat Indian family, I'm going to Pune. So on the 6th of February, 2003, I came to Pune. And there used to be a visitor center and a visitor's tour. And at that time, they used to show this video called The Inner Explosion. Yes. And there's this one line in that, Swaram, where he says, I want you to be emperors. You are begging. You are begging. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yes, I am, in my context, begging men in my life to love me. Yeah. And then there is a booklet they gave you. And there he writes, you give me 3 days and I will give you a new man. And now, you know, imagine me, I'm an engineer, I have a technical left brain, Western education. I thought, okay, buddy, I give you 72 hours. This I can do. So I booked into the guest house, exactly 72 hours. I had a taxi at the end of 72 hours. I said, I'm going to do everything you say and let's see. And you know what? 18 years ago, guess what? Yeah, he was right. Nah? And in 3 days, when I went home, I truly feel that something has shifted inside me. And then, of course, many, many, many other gifts from Osho. But in those 3 days, there was proof, you know? And because I have this process or scientific mind, I mean, I truly know that that 3 day that he designed, this combination of a dynamic Kundalini evening meeting, three more meditations in the day, bathing frequently, eating lightly, staying inside and not really expending energy in talking. This was, I think, the summary of it. Yeah. And then making sure that, you know, you're swapping out of your clothes. So, you know, you're taking the frequent showers. And all of this was a design. It was not random. At that moment, I was just going for it. But years later, when I unpacked it, I realized this was as scientific as me going into a lab and, you know, testing the wireless networks I used to test. And, all the work I have done ever as a student and then a practitioner of science, except that his focus of scientific inquiry was consciousness. Yeah. And he's had me hooked. Every single process, Swaram, is scientific. It is replicable. It just works, right? This is, you know, you can unpack any of it, whether it's, you know, whether it is the whether it's design of dynamic, whether it's design of, it's all, you know, it's not, it is definitely, definitely the work of a scientist. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, I used to wonder, why did I spend learning calculus for 8 years and all the scientific studies? I truly feel that, it prepared me to then participate in his experiments.
Wow, that's wonderful. And there are people who come across Osho's books and they are blown away. I mean, the Osho's words, they can be so impactful. And You are in the stage of your life where you're looking for some change. And then you read that just one sentence or two or just one word, and it can just really, boom, give you that power, that energy, that courage to take those decisions, take the steps and change your life. I've heard it so many times. It happened to me exactly the same. So it's wonderful, because even though Osho is no more physically present, but for whoever is available and open, even just one word, one moment, one second can make a huge difference. So that's great. And then you already started going into this idea of Osho and science, and how you, coming from your background as a scientist, you can see that in Osho's approach to meditation, in terms of the way he designed the techniques, the way he designed the program, that you stay into the ashram or the resort and you follow a certain pattern where you eat in a certain way, you live in a certain environment, and you do those the specific meditation 3-4 times a day. And that's where within 72 hours, it can, you know, flip your life upside down. So I'd love to go a little bit deeper, and if you can explain what you mean with science.
Yes. You know, I'll tell you, I think that I've always known it, but I tell you what really recently triggered it. If you remember, there was this whole uproar about Wild Wild Country or Wild Wild West or whatever is this thing on Netflix. And somehow I have to say, I never got into it. I watched for 3-4 minutes. I was a bit bored and I never really, you know, hooked onto it. However, subsequently, there was a book by Manisha James, you know, everybody knows. Okay, Manisha. So she put out an ebook, and I think it's a reprint of a book she had written. And, you know, in that she talks about really, you know, her experience of that time. But what really stuck with me was there is a place where she says clearly that Osho would say to them, yeah, in Pune 1. So this is even before he goes to America, if I remember it correctly. And apologies to Manisha, you know, this is as good as my memories go. This is what I took away. There's a clear part where she says that Osho would ask us to do some things like Latihan or dance or what, and he's observing, right? And this really struck me, Swaram. You know, this is actually a scientist. isn't it? He is actually doing experiments on energy, and he's asking the sannyasins individually or in a group to do something, and then he is observing what is the energetic phenomenon that is as a result of it. And based on that, he was fine-tuning, say, Nada Brahma or Kundalini. I can't remember if she spoke about Nada Brahma or Kundalini, one of the two. And so it struck me that exactly as, you know, if you are in a laboratory, you would shift the variable, like you would say what you're measuring, and then you would adjust, right, till you found that exact sweet spot at which the conditions are met. Now, so there is a bit of a back and forth within the constraints of the scientific inquiry. And this is what he was doing, right? So he was, and then the other thing that came to me was I did No Mind training in December of 2019, right? And there is this moment there, Swaram, where he talks about this is an individual process in a collective energy. So now he is giving context. Why is it that, you know, when we do certain meditations in that energy field, we feel something, right? So you and I can go home and we do gibberish at home also. And then, you know, you come to Pune and you sit inside the auditorium or, you know, in various spaces assigned for, and you meditate there. And you know, and I know from being there is a difference. Right. Even if when you're dancing in Buddha group, there's a difference. So what I also noticed is that he was placing, he knew that the collective, which means people coming in and out of, was the chaos. Right. So he made that actually a variable in the experiment. So you are an individual working on your consciousness, but the collective also doing a similar, you know, each one doing a similar then contributes to your individual process. So he's actually making the collective a variable in the conversation. Now, not to get too scientific or whatever, but, you know, now he has added, and, you know, if you look at the elegance of it, when you go to evening meeting, there's a moment where he says, now there is just not 10,000 Buddhas, just one lake of consciousness, isn't it? And so, I mean, just imagine that he has made the collective, which could be chaos and disrupt an experiment, a soup, a variable in the inquiry, if that makes sense. You know, so let's include that variable into building the process for the individual. I mean, if you just start thinking about it, it's like, whoa, it's so much fun. And then if you know, because most Osho people, and I think the beauty of being Osho is you don't want to, you know, get too mind focused and make this. So I do this because I have a training for this. But now if you just back up, you know, it's like, even for me, I don't need to anymore worry about all that. It's taken care of. I just need to show up and 15 minutes shaking, 15 minutes dancing, 15 minutes, and then lie on your stomach. Good. And everybody can understand that. You know, this is replicable again and again and again and forever. And as far as the energy field is concerned, it doesn't matter whether it's you or me or 10,000 other people. The collective energy only requires people, right? Not which people. So he's made everything so simple.
Yes. I mean, you're making such beautiful points that Osho made everything so simple. Meditation that is traditionally really boring. You know, if you look at the traditional Vipassana technique, which is the essential core of meditation, that is mindfulness. You watch, you are aware. That's watchfulness. That's what meditation is about. You become more conscious, but you sit down and you become aware. And, you know, it's really a boring process. And Osho managed to create these techniques that are enjoyable, they are fun, and they make you become more aware in a way that is effortless almost. You know, in the last stage, you lie down and you can reach this state of relaxed awareness without too much as a consequence of what you have done before in the previous stages. Sometimes you can really enjoy those, you know, especially in the Kundalini. Maybe dynamic can be a little bit intense, it can be enjoyable, but can sometimes you have to push. But it's so effective, it's so powerful. And I'm loving that you bring this science perspective into the picture, because intuitively I've experienced that. I know what you're saying, but from another angle. You know, I never thought of Osho doing this experiment. So this, what you're saying is that Osho was a scientist because he would tell people to try a technique and then he was observing and changing and adjusting. So that's the work of a scientist. That's what they do. Of course, now they have equipment and measurements. So that's why it's scientific, but that's what Osho was doing. That's the approach. So the other part you said, I think it's absolutely important. The importance of meditating together, it's incredible. Like for me, when I came across Osho, I was impressed, like you, reading a book. And then the next step is like, okay, now I need to go somewhere and try these techniques and meet other people and meditate together. And then I went to Pune and there I felt this Buddha field support that really like boosted and changed it so much. If I didn't have that, I don't think I would have transformed so deeply and so fast. So the fact that we have places where there is a strong energy field, it's so important. Of course, if you have already meditated for 50 years, you've been with Osho, you can meditate everywhere, you can be at home, it's not your concern, it doesn't matter, you know, I just sit and meditate and I feel Osho. But you think for new people, they don't have that 50 years of experience. So if you want to think for future generation, for people who come to Osho today and tomorrow, a Buddha field is very, very important. You know, otherwise you read a book and then you sit at home. I don't think it's going to happen the same way, right?
Yeah. So look, so Swami, you know, for me, there are three components, right? One is, of course, your individual effort, if you want to call it, your individual commitment. Nah? So that is sannyas, right? You, and that is what is sannyas really. And he said it again and again and again. It's your individual commitment to your growth. Hmm? And the second thing is the sangha. So all of the collective, right? So when you and I meet on a road versus me meeting my friend from AT&T, we are going to hug and we are going to have an instant connect because we are both vibrating in this individual inquiry, isn't it? And to that extent, whatever you are up to and I are up to collectively, even if we meet after 5 or 10 years. So that's like the communing of the sangha. The third variable is what you said, the energy field, right? So I feel like this energy field was created and left that look. And, you know, if you read the early work, you know, Love, I think it's been reprinted. Work is love made visible. He says clearly, my proposal is you go out into the marketplace and in 12 months, you refresh yourself for 30 days. Come here, refresh yourself, dip in your, and then go back for 11 months and take it with you. Remember, however, both pieces. Come back every month, give yourself 30 days. What are you doing so you're so busy? And then go away. Both. Don't stay here too long. And don't forget to come back. He said both. And, you know, this is also, and apart from what he said, Swaram, you know, it's also our own experience, right? We've also, like, now I feel like there is Osho intelligence. There is, like, you know, it has transmuted us. And we speak through that awareness that I feel is his gift to us. You know, and so we can also say with some degree of authority that this energy field has contributed to our, you know, to our journey. I want to, I just want to say one more, you know, I want to say, because we started this conversation comparison with Einstein, right? I just want to also talk about the other piece, which is that, you know, so when you approach this from that Osho, the inner scientist, right? There is also Osho, that poet, Osho, that mystic, the one that we all fell in love with, you know, so there is a parallel and indivisible. And I think this part cannot happen without that part. You know, I want to tell you a small story. One of the first assignments I had was to work in resort care. Yeah. And we were at that point, one of the tasks that was given to us was to go to every room on the campus and, you know, do an inventory of everything that's there. Yeah. And we were told up front that, you know, one of the things is if there are any pictures of Osho that are seen, they need to be taken down. Right. And, you know, for me, there was no conflict because it was clear. It was the man, the meditation, not the man. You know, I got it. You know, it's like, yeah. And so I walk into this room in Sanai, which is, if those who know the campus, is a little bit away from the main campus. And I And because I'm a hands-on person, even though there was somebody from the removal team, I got up on the bed to start to remove the photo. And as in a moment, I'm standing there, the photo is in my hand, I'm looking straight into his eyes. And I dropped my hands. I fell back into the bed and I started crying, Swaram. I don't know why. I thought, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I laid there crying. I left. I told my supervisor after lunch, I said, I can't do this. I can't physically lift. I couldn't. And it is like a shock in my heart because I didn't expect it. Right? And so she said to me, it's okay. Take a breath. I know what you're feeling. Leave it. Don't go back to that room. And, you know, just let it go. This is, you have just had, you've had an experience and stay with it, you know, and go. And she just gave me this beautiful support and space. And that task was actually taken away from me. But, you know, and that was my first inkling that whether you start from the technique and have a most rational mind, or you are that person who looks at his eyes on the first day and falls in a puddle of love. You know, this is the Einstein conversation, whether you start from matter or you start from energy. You know, there's this thing that you see what you want to see. And when you, if you're looking for matter, you will find matter. And if you're looking for energy, you will find energy. And this, I think, is exactly the comparison with my journey with Osho. You know, there is no difference between love and meditation. You meditate, you do dynamic, and you're going to fall and melt into love. And you come in this total surrender and say that I am one. And, you know, in his eyes, I see that oneness, and you are going to come to that awareness. You know, and this is exactly the same. This was his final words, Einstein, that, you know, in the end, I should, if I'm ever born again, I'll be born a plumber, because it is too complex to be a physicist. Right. And in the end, right, like Abid, so it is not separable, Swaram. You know, like you cannot say that there are the devotional types and the meditative types. There are just Osho sannyasins, and everybody is held together in this complete love. You know, it for me, Osho was my first understanding of what it is to be loved. Right? Like you, I came after Osho had left his body. I have never seen him in his body. I have felt love and have become capable of being loved by others only because of his grace. And this is as much a fact, though I don't have any proof, as much as the science, which I think I could prove.
I'm totally with you, and so refreshing to hear this new perspective from someone who never met Osho in the body. Normally, I interview all the sannyasins who have been with Osho physically, and they're beautiful. I love it. But to see that I'm not alone, there are other people like me that have the same feeling and understanding, and they've come later to Osho, is amazing. One thing that I'm interested about, I want to pick your brain on the science of dynamic meditation. Is there anything that you can say about that?
Yeah. You know, I am not different from many people getting up at 6 o'clock and doing dynamic, and the physicality of dynamic has always been a tremendous challenge for me, you know, and I feel like the two pieces that I have observed, you know, like inside me is this piece of the chaotic breathing, right? That the first stage of dynamic. And I'm just Swaram now talking about all the times that I have done dynamic, especially when I've done it many, many, many days in a row, right? Because I do feel it builds up. So when you do dynamic once and then you come back 3 weeks, and when you do dynamic every day for 30 days, or every day for 60 days or 90 days. Now, this is also, I think, a different phenomenon. There is some different things happening inside you. So there are two or three things that I have noticed which is very replicable and universal. So when you go into dynamic, different things happen for different people. But there are two stages which I feel. One is the first stage of chaotic breathing. And then, you know, the instructions are that not only that you are, that you don't establish any rhythm, right? So that it's chaotic, not only in the fact that you are, so, you know, if you do a, it's, but then you don't stay in that, you know, you also vary that and the intensity. And then the other thing is that you're really, it's intensely physical, because on the first, second, third, fourth day, you know, your physical body resists that, right? But what I feel is that that chaotic, you know, that the, from an experience perspective, that actually the breath movements that focus on the exhalation. And because I've also done a lot of work in yoga, you know, when you shift the attention to the exhalation versus the inhalation, right? And this is not from any, this is just, again, I want to say again and again from my own experience, what happens, because your whole focus is on the exhalation and the inhalation is just happening involuntarily, is that I feel like there is something that happens if you, you know, in accessing the, what I want to call the primitive brain, right? So it shifts from the prefrontal cortex or the frontal brain, where it's more immediate stuff, into our subconscious and unconscious. And I think that breathing activity somehow also bypasses, you know, the more what we call the rational mind. Right now, this is my own suspicion, and this is, you know, how I've acted on the days that I've done dynamic. Or when I know that certain things are coming up, like today, I was doing dynamic this morning, right? Not because I thought that you would be, but I wanted to be really showing up completely present. And I think it does, in that sense, a dry cleaning, because it is. Now, I don't know specifically what is happening there, but it feels like the brain is not throwing up so much, let's say, conditioning or this negative self-talk or, you know, this conditioning or reactionary behavior post that chaotic breathing. I think then he builds up on it with catharsis. So not only is that bringing up stuff, but the catharsis is cleaning it out, right? So I think that this is, you know, that it is both done to access the, and I'm sure that, you know, somebody, I know for sure that other Osho friends have done lots of research on it, and there's a book out, and sure, a lot of this is covered, but I'm just focusing on what I have experienced in the body. So that first chaotic breathing is somehow allowing you to access parts of your unconscious that are otherwise not accessible to us. Yeah, this is the one thing. The second thing that I feel is very powerful is this whole thing with who, right? Because the idea is that you're stomping your feet, and if your back doesn't hold it, you're doing this pumping motion. So you're basically moving this entire, what I call, whatever lies within your pelvic girdle, you know, and you're hitting at that first chakra, second chakra, because they're so close together. So in that, you know, right below your, at the center of your, you know, sex center, and at the same time you're saying this word and you know what, I also, like, you know, now in yoga, for example, they talk about this area being a second brain. Now modern science is saying that your gut is your second brain, right? So when you're hitting and hitting and hitting, you know, I wonder if this is also accessing a part of your unconscious or subconscious. Right? Because if we are suggesting that in our gut lies a second brain, you know, obviously you had a gut feeling. So there is something. So he's moving all this, then he's moving all this, right? So there are two places, if you see, that he's kind of asking you to churn stuff out. Two polarities in your body. Now top, and then when you're breathing, it's this whole area, and then this whole sex area. So I'm always, when I walk away, there are two things that I feel after doing dynamic. One is this clarity that, you know, like, I do not talk out of conditioning, reaction. I have much more clarity and presence. And the second thing that I feel is that I somehow you know, the fear and these emotions are related to loss, fear of loss, which are somehow living in my, you know, gut area, that also seems to not have that much immediate power over me. So these are the two things. This is only my observations, Mara. And I want to say again and again from doing dynamic over these 2 years, right? And from these 20 years, 18 years. And it was really worth asking yourself when you do these meditations, what am I feeling? How is it contributed? You know, how am I feeling? Am I checking in? Right. And then really designed. And again, to come back to Osho and his beauty, he's anchoring the day. He's saying, start with this, end with the, you know, end your workday with Kundalini and then come to white robe. You know, imagine the way he's like, you know, even if you are like, even for those who live, I have many, many friends who live outside, not in Pune, they still follow this schedule. They meditate in the morning, they meditate in the afternoon, and then, you know, they listen to Osho discourse, they dance before at dusk. You know, you hear it often, 7 p.m. is Osho time. Now, wherever you are, you stop, you listen to his voice, and you let go. So, you know, imagine modern science, Swaram says that every habit you want to transform, the clue is in the design of the day. And guess what? Osho has even given you a design for the day. Start with this meditation, end with this. He's taken away the, and he's not asking you to believe it. He's saying, try it. If it doesn't work, toss it. Mm-hmm. So he's given you that design. Just think about it. Yeah, I'm a coach, you know. So in my profession, I'm a coach, and I am telling my clients every day, build, you know, anchor your days with conscious habits. Start your day, end your day with conscious habit. Do you know where I got this from? Do you know who is my inspiration? You know who is my coach? No, it's not a difficult guess. I just say to people, this amazing scientist has figured it out. Everybody doesn't need to reinvent the wheel. Trust me, you know, like this is where you can say, do it 3 times. It doesn't work for you. Let it go. You know, and I tell you, I've coached maybe, I would say 100 people every year for the last 16 years. Right. And nobody has come back to me and said, oh, this is rubbish. So either I have a very poor feedback system or it's working.
It's so refreshing to hear this new insight based on your personal experience. But the way you talk is slightly different from what normally people say when asked about dynamic meditation, because I feel like there is a sort of collective unconscious and conditioning, even within sannyasins, which is normal. You know, we now have these conversations because we are kind of in the era of science, so we talk all about, you know, scientific things, and then maybe in 10, 20 years, new people will start doing dynamic meditation, there would be new collective unconscious, and they will talk in different terms. So it's absolutely normal. We are historical people, and we pick up and the vibes and the ideas that are current. This is the latest. We need more of this, because I feel like we need to kind of reach out of the sannyas historical circle, because Osho is such a genius. Osho was definitely pioneer. And somehow the fact that we now can reframe a little bit of what Osho was bringing to the table, trying to use this modern language, can help to reach out to people who historically were not are not into the sannyas world. And you mentioned that you are a transformational coach. What else? What other tools you use from Osho? What have you learned from Osho that you're using in your life and profession as a coach?
Yeah, you know, Swaram, the number one tool is it's gibberish. This is the reason that I did the No Mind training, right? And the idea is that 100% of my paying clients are not in Osho Sannyas. They might end up in Osho Sannyas because they've coached with me, but they didn't start out. So I'm definitely in the marketplace, and I have clients all over the world. And I have noticed that the practice of gibberish, okay? No Mind is, and you know, people really, I mean, there is doing gibberish and doing No Mind are two different things. Yeah. The meditative therapy is set up for 7 days in a format. Again, Osho design, and I really would like to talk about meditative therapies and his the incredible science there. But gibberish in itself is the most easy to share with people in the marketplace. It's the easiest for people to infuse, like, which means do on a daily basis. And the third thing is that it has the quickest and fastest results in the marketplace. You know, when you have a group of people who have never even thought of what is inside me, right, is that there is a whole interiority in a human being. Imagine even for that person to say, close your eyes, try this, it works. It works with teenagers, it works with college students, it works with senior citizens. I have done it with people of most nationalities who speak English, right? And it works. In 2016, I was in Ghana at a world conference with girls and women from 114 countries. Every day they did gibberish. They did other techniques, but gibberish was the one that got the best review. Till today, I get emails from these young women who say, oh, you brought this to my life. And, you know, I always say in my mind, yeah, no, it came to you. You know, and it doesn't matter. I will also own that I did, you know, that I did. I presented it. And I'm just saying that these people, you know, were from African nations, from Europe. I mean, and the follow-up questions and the intensity, nothing to do with Osho, right? And yet, clearly understand that this is a gibberish method that I learned from Osho. There is no attempt ever on my part, Swaram, to ever hide the fact that all of this comes, here is the source. You know, I am sharing my understanding of it, and you can go directly to source, because that's really where the, you know, that's the fountain. I have a little jug of water and you know, I'm giving you a sip. That, I think, is the analogy. Right. So this is gibberish. The other thing that I think that really comes to my coaching practice from Osho is this understanding of silence. You know, you do not have to fill everything up with words. And in the beginning, I was so eager to make my clients better and to help them and to, you know, You can feel it and you're almost vibrating. Swaram is my client. I want him to be happy. I want to literally enter his body and fix it so he's not in pain. And with Osho, I really got that there is a space, that actually it's everybody's individual journey. And that is giving the ultimate respect to the other. Whether you are my client, my partner, my friend, I respect that you know what's best for you. And I can be silent and just hold the space for you to arrive at your own insight. This we learned from Osho. You know, at least I got from Osho. You know, when he says, don't just listen to my words, listen to my silences. No, he says this every day and in evening meeting. And that, I think, transformed my practice, transformed my life. I mean, I'm with one man for 10 years and I tell you, this is a miracle because of what I took from Osho. Yeah. So these are the two things. There are so many, but these are the two things. One is this technique, and two, this power of silence. Hmm?
Beautiful, and actually very complimentary. I mean, the whole point of doing the gibberish or the dynamic meditation is to then get to that silent space and really touch it. And because that's the other thing, like all the modern meditation teachers nowadays, they all know that silence is impossible to get. So they just say, no, don't forget about silence. You know, meditation is about relaxation. You know, that if you can come down and sleep a little bit better, that's already a big result, and that's meditation. But we know at Sannyasins that we are with a real master, silence is the real deal, is the thing. And there are ways through Osho techniques and Osho's approaches that you can get there. And it doesn't have to take, you know, years and years and years. You know, with dynamic meditation, you can do it so much faster than just sitting in silence. It's beautiful. You're bringing it together. And it's a great reminder that yes, gibberish is wonderful. It's very simple and people can get it straight away. I want to hear about the science of the meditative therapies.
So I want to talk about the Mystic Rose and No Mind only because born again is not a process that I naturally gravitate towards. And so when we talk about, you know, the meditative therapy, and you also see that in his own journey, you know, these were coming sort of at the end, right? I mean, he was saying that now this is like, you know, it's in public record, the way he speaks about Mystic Rose. You had a beautiful conversation with Leela when she talks about getting the Mystic Rose. So there is, you know, that's available for people to listen. What I think is that entire design, the 3 weeks, laughing, crying, silence, the 7 days in gibberish, 1 hour silent. I'm only going to talk about No Mind because I love it so much. I've done it the most. And I feel like everybody in the modern world, if 7.7 billion people did No Mind one time, we would have no wars, right? Because the beauty of this process is, you know, Swaram, there are many, many, many people who know this, but it's worth repeating that all our self-limiting belief and all our conditioning lies in our language center, you know, in our language. A lot of it lives in the words we use, right? And the process of No Mind and this gibberish for an hour and the way it's set up in No Mind, you know, the way the facilitators give the guidance. I mean, I'm biased, but I did it with one of the best facilitators from No Mind, my love, Unmata. And I mean, she's at another level. And, you know, the way it is, it's really beautiful because in words, the amount when you go into No Mind, the amount of instruction is minimal. And yet, when those who've done No Mind know, there is a peak. Now, so you are doing it's a 7 days. And somehow on the third or fourth day, it seems like you have, you know, it's kind of like it's a wave and you've kind of crested. And everybody has this 3-4 day. And like for me, and I can only say for me, I've done it several times. It's about the fourth morning that I can feel, you know, something shifts, right? And because it bypasses the self-limiting beliefs and it directly, right? So, I mean, you know, it cuts across the layers of the unconscious. The beauty of that is that you have you have access to things that you have stored in your physical, emotional, you know, like in ancient Indian wisdom, we talk about the five bodies, right? So there are five, the physical body, and then all the way up to the ethereal body. And so all of those is stored, I mean, incredible amount of conditioning. And this kind of just slices through like a hot knife through butter. And it's so elegant and it's so simple and it requires very minimal instruction and the doing of it. You know, when you come out of the other end, you notice clearly, like for me, you know, the last time I did this, I noticed the quality of my voice changed. So I would record my voice and I would feel, you know, when you hear your voice is different than what you think you're hearing, it shifted. The use of words, the way I was communicating. And I mean, that was one of the things I really noticed this last time. So the meditative therapies. Right. I mean, and he says it clearly, 1, 2, 3. And then I want to add who is in. Right. This used to be in, I think it has had many, many avatars, but who is in? So the three meditative thing and the who is in. If there is any doubt in anybody's mind, right, that, oh, yeah, it's nice. We go there, we dance, we read his books. My question always is, have you done Mystic Rose? Have you done who is in? Have you done No Mind? Have you done 30 days of dynamic? Okay, then. Because for me, these four points makes you, you know, then you can say that you have received Osho's grace, right? And this is not coming out of judgment. This is coming out of his most valuable processes. You know, these are the four things. Take it off. And I mean, I'm just going out on a limb now and saying, make a list, 1, 2, 3, 4. And at the end of that list, and I mean, this is, really, I have so much confidence. If people cannot say that the entire perspective of Osho's work doesn't change at the end of those four tick marks, right? I can say, I don't know what is the most precious thing I have in my life, Swaram, but I can put it online, right? I no longer think that money is the most precious thing. So I won't talk about my meager bank account, but maybe my life, right? And I'm telling you, four ticks, and then you are in a conversation with Osho.
This is so inspirational. I love it. And I think my point is we need to make an effort, at least for me, to get out in the world and make these tools from Osho available, because now meditation is booming. Meditation is no more like before in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, meditation is now practiced by everyone in all the big corporates, you know, even politicians, even, I know, Keith Mitchell, that we I interviewed, he went to the White House to conduct a yoga meditation session. And Osho's meditations are not there. And as you say, if people did No Mind, Mystic Cross, Gibberish, or Dynamic Meditation, Who Is In, and then there are so many others. I mean, these are the ones that you love, and I think the most powerful. But there are so many. I mean, it's such a vast, rich, powerful, effective, genius toolkit that Osho left us. We have to kind of bring it out there. Okay.
Adam, I want to say one last thing. You know, because you said that we need to bring it out, right? To the world. I mean, this is my own understanding, and and I want to offer it as a goodbye. When we do this and we bring it to other people, like, my understanding is clear that this actually is my journey also. Osho's work has been done. You know, these days I look about this, I hear so many people saying we're doing Osho's work. And I always feel you're doing your own work. Osho's work. Osho was very, very smart. Osho knew how to do his work. So when I stand up and I say something, I'm standing for myself. And I'm very clear. This is my journey. This is my love for my master. This is why, you know, when I hear about a great Italian restaurant, I tell all my friends. So guess what? I fell in love with this brilliant man. And I want to shout it from the rooftops that, you know what? I have fallen in love and here he is. And this is the reason, you know? So this is that. This is my journey. It is, I never for one second think, Swaram, ever, that I'm doing Osho's work. I am always in his grace and, you know, just immersed in the showering of his love.
Look, I resonate totally with that. It's a wonderful reminder, and it's a wonderful way to end this conversation. Very inspirational, very energetic, very high energy, very powerful. And I'm with you. I think I have enough of people quoting Osho. Osho said this, Osho said that. You know, that's the way of the priest, that to go with the Bible and says, you know, this is like enough. First of all, Osho said everything and the contrary of everything. So everyone can find quotes to support their idea. So that's his on purpose to confuse us, not to be attached to his ideas and philosophies and message, you know. The transformation is inner. And when I go out there, as you say, I do it because it's my pleasure. It's my love. It's, as you say, I fell in love with this man. It's like going, I discovered something so powerful and I want to share it. That's it. And then the same way people who do mindfulness, they don't have to be Buddhist. People can do Osho without being any. But then the trick is, as you say, Osho was intelligent. Osho does his own work. Then if people resonate, if people want to go deeper, if people want to then become sannyasins or go deeper, yes, with Osho, it's their choice and they're going to do it. Like with me, like with you. I mean, and that's another level. And then I think that's, of course, it's much deeper work. But even just if you do the techniques, there is no harm. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, go around. It's nothing to do with missionary, with religion. Osho wasn't about that. So it's really just sharing something that is powerful, is beautiful, that I think will contribute to make this world a better place.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you so much. It's been real fun, real amazing, such a very good energy, inspirational. And thank you so much. Lots of love.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveoshow.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.